Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
I have no doubt everyone listening to this program will know of my next guest. They'll sure recognise his voice. He's one of Australia's most likeable TV personalities. Dr. Harry Cooper has been gracing our screens for decades with his vet work and his love of animals. His cheery nature is contagious. His passion for animals, starkly apparent. He's as genuine as they come. But behind his television work, he's also faced his fair share of personal battles, fighting prostate cancer, losing his eldest daughter earlier this year to cancer. In spite of it all, he's maintained a very grounded Christian faith and is looking ahead to many more years in TV and a milestone birthday next year. Dr. Harry Cooper has been on our list for the last 2 years, so it's a great treat on our final show for the year and my last show to welcome Harry Cooper to Open House. Harry, welcome.
Lee, what a build-up.
You've got to live up to it now. Harry Cooper, it's great to have you with us. It seems you've always been on our TV screens. Hard to remember you not being there. How did you first land into TV world?
I'd gone to England and come back from the UK, and I bought into a partnership at my veterinary practice at Gladesville. He got a telephone call from the morning show producer on Channel 7. He said, look, we want to have a vet come on the show. So my partner said to me, look, you drive past the door, you know, you do it. So I thought, talking to a television camera won't be all that difficult anyhow. So I rang up the producer and I said, well, you know, what do you want me to do? And he said, you'll be at the main gate at 8:30 in the morning on a Monday and be prepared to talk on any subject, you know, but it's television, so bring something to illustrate it with. And I said, okay. So I turned up the first Monday at 8:30 and the doorman said, no, we don't need you today, go away.
A bit
despondent, you know. Turned up the second Monday and I got the same response. I thought, you know, this isn't going to last. And then on the third day, the actual producer himself is at the gate and he said to me, can you do 20 minutes? And I said, the words I used were, is the paper cut to go, you know, and I said, let's go. So I did two breaks, as we would call them on the show, because I was what is colloquially known in the industry as the fill. Someone didn't turn up. You know, it was my job to plug the hole, so to speak.
You're also and what we know in television as good talent, though.
Nobody would have known that in those days.
No.
But I went from being the fill to being a permanent member of the morning show in 1 week. Because we got so many phone calls and such a fantastic response from it. So
fantastic.
I would have probably been about, you know, 28, 29 when I did that, probably 70, something like that.
It's a long time.
And it sort of all went very quiet for a long time after that, and then I was showing some horses at a show at St Ives. I ran into a colleague that I used to breed budgerigars with, Don Burke, and he said to me, look, you know, I'm going to do a radio show. And I said, good luck to you. He said, but I want you to be a part of it. And I said, oh, well, I'd like to do that. Did Burke's Backyard Radio for probably about 3 to 4 years, and then he said, I'm going to make a television show, and
yeah.
I thought, this will be something. He came out and made television, and it was the world's worst piece of television I've ever seen. There was a major Mitchell cockatoo and a cat and a horse, and you know, the topic was the diseases you can get from animals. I thought, that's great, you know, that's really going to turn people on, that is right. And I forgot all about it, you know, I didn't think anything more about it, and about 9 months later, I got this phone call on Saturday morning. And it's from Don, and he says, you know, the show's on. And I said, what show? You know, I'd forgotten about it. He said, the show we made, you know, it's on. And it's replacing Bonanza. Anyhow, the rest, of course, is history. And
yes.
I worked with Don for about 6 years. And then we went our own separate ways because I moved to Tasmania. Then Channel 7 approached me to make a television show, Talk to the Animals, which ran for 4 years. And then when that finally folded, Channel 7 approached me to make sort of my own show, which I made with Katrina Warren. And I think this is about 11 or 12 on Better Homes and Gardens. It's been a great ride.
Sure has, and I'm sure you have, and it looks like you have. Can you remember where your love and your passion for animals started, Harry?
Oh, my parents. No doubt about that. If you listen, when I make television, I will often quote my parents. You know, my father said this, or my mother said that, or my father taught me this, you know. Yes, you learn a lot at university, but I learned a lot of practical hands-on stuff from my father and from people like him, who'd had, you know, a world of experience with animals that you can't get out of a textbook.
Why do you think your work and the TV programs have resonated so well with Australians? Is there a secret to it?
I think Australians love animals. If you think about them, they've been a part of our culture for such a long, long time. We depended on them, the horse and the dog, to develop this land. And I think that's where Australia's great love of animals has come from. Something that kids have always enjoyed. I was asked when I first started off, you know, what are your aims? And I didn't have any, I really didn't have any aims. I thought, well, I better find an aim, hadn't I?
Yes.
So my aim became to teach children a love and an understanding and a responsibility for animals, not just domestic animals, but animals everywhere, right throughout the world. And I would hope that if I taught them that, that they would carry that through into their adult life, and they would also have the same sort of love and respect for their fellow man.
Harry, away from the TV screens, your life has not always been a party for you. You battled prostate cancer just a few years ago. What was that experience like?
Well, it started off as being, what did the Queen call it? The annus horribilis, didn't she?
Yes.
I guess mine on a scale of, you know, sort of 1 to 10, 1 being nothing to worry about and 10 being disaster, was probably about 6 or 6.5. But anyhow, you know, what the heck, I'm alive and kicking.
How confronting was it to have the big C diagnosed?
I knew I had it. You know, I think you know your own body, and I didn't have any of the symptoms, but I just felt uncomfortable in my groin, and probably because my prostate at this stage had grown much larger than an orange. And so it's normally a walnut, and suddenly it's an orange, and that's pretty damn big. And so I just dealt with it. And in veterinary science, I suppose, you know, you're a scientific person. It's there. Deal with it. Did it shake me up? No, not really, because I knew I had it. Did it shake my faith? No. Did it come as a surprise? No.
When you talk of dealing with it, you've also had to deal over the last couple of years with a very sad loss of your daughter after bowel cancer. Talk to us about that experience.
Well, I think that's the hardest thing that you ever go through in your entire life, you know.
Yes.
Your children are supposed to outlive you, aren't they? You know, she was my firstborn child. You know, she rang me to tell me what the x-rays showed, and when she told me what the x-rays showed, I didn't have to go any further. I've been a veterinary surgeon for 40 years. I knew what she had. I knew what she had, except I thought she probably had a primary bone lesion, not a secondary one. I just walked out on the veranda, and I looked up to the sky, and I said, why not me, God, why not me? I've had a good life. I've done all I need to do. A stacks of good friends. She's been getting hers. She has two lovely children. Why? And, you know, and I've thought about it over the years, why? And I guess that her God needed her more than we did. That's the only explanation I have. They never lost faith, the pair of them. They're strongly religious. Her husband, a wonderful man, and devoted to the two children, absolutely devoted to them, and a fantastic father.
So what's it done to your faith in God, Harry?
It's given it a bit of a bloody rock.
Yes, I bet.
Yeah. It's given it a bit of a bloody rock, yeah.
Yes.
It would have to, wouldn't it? I will ask, if I get the chance, why? Why? But I still have faith, and I want to keep that. And I want to keep that for the kids more than for anything else, and for him. So, you know, I just aim to back him in every possible way I can.
Can you tell us something of your journey of faith and how that's married with your very public life on television?
Well, I started off as a pretty regular attendee at Sunday school. My parents made a point of taking me to Sunday school on a regular basis. And I went through Sunday school now being superintendent of the Sunday school. So, yeah, I continued that faith all the way through. And I think, you know, faith probably, you know, comes and goes in your life. It did in mine.
What would life have been without it, do you think?
Oh, pretty hollow. I work with one producer in television today. And, you know, she's very, very strongly religious. You know, we often have great discussions when we're driving around in the car and one thing and another. And she says to me, you know, where do you pull all those phrases from and how do you know what to say when? And I go, someone puts the words in my mouth.
Yes.
That's where it comes from. They come from above. But I don't make a big thing. I do not want to stand on pedestals and bow trumpets and say all of that sort of thing. And I've always said just one thing. When I finish in the industry and I finish full stop, I just want one thing said. He was a good bloke.
Can I finally ask you about this milestone birthday that I referred to earlier that's next year?
Septuagenarian.
Reveal all. It's 70.
Well, 70 next year will be quite a milestone, but it's not going to worry me. I have to have the kids around and some of my class of friends around and a bit of a get-together, yeah.
Great stuff. And no sign of winding down from TV?
No. No, you know, the network would like to keep me going and I would love to keep going. So while we are both in tandem, I will keep going. Look, what do you do when you stop? I watched my father work until he was 77. And when he stopped at 77, he started to go downhill because he depended on work. And I can see myself in so many ways like my own father in my attitude to life. And my attitude to people and all that sort of stuff. And he was the one, you know, he loved his animals and he was a great animal person. So I've tried to build my life around his. And he gave me something that which is still very precious to me. It's a rule. And when you're at school and you sort of got to high school, and if you had a really nice ruler. Notice I say the word rule, not ruler.
Yes, a ruler
is a king.
Yes. Right?
A rule is something you measure with. So this was a Staedtler, and a German rule. That was a beautiful thing to have, and if you had one of these, you were something. So he gave me a 15-inch one, not a 12-inch one, but a 15-inch Staedtler. And he engraved my name on it. He put a note in with it. And he said, "This is an instrument to measure. Make sure that your life is measured in the same fashion. Make sure it is as straight and true as this instrument." So I've tried to make it that way. There have been times, obviously, when you fall by the wayside, so to speak, and things aren't as they should be. But I guess the thought of this rule comes back, and you pick yourself up, and you start going straight again.
What a great way to end a rich and marvellous conversation, Dr. Harry Cooper. I'm so very grateful that you've joined us for our final show for this year and my final program on Open House. You're an absolute treat. Thank you so much indeed for sparing your time. You've been very generous.
Lee, my absolute pleasure. And may I wish all your listeners a happy and a Christian Christmas and a safe and a prosperous 2014.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.